Did you know that "I wanna suck your blood" is the most popular phrase said by any vampire in, well, anywhere? We've got all sorts of spooky information and more coming up. We got lots of info, let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know With Rhino. Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Rhino. In case you didn't know, I'm Rhino. This is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. It must be spooky season. Here at Did You Know with Rhino, we are the podcast talking about all sorts of amazing, awesome things, mostly about facts and information that you never even thought that you might want to know. But we're here to tell you all the cool things that you should know, shouldn't know, with Rhino. And that's what's up. But we're not going to do it alone. Today we're hanging out with the one and only amazingly awesome Rachel O. Hello, darling.
Hello.
What is up and stuff?
I think it's starting to get spooky out.
Like weather-wise or just because it's September?
Just probably because it's September. The weather's just bleh.
What's your favorite part about September?
It's one month closer to somewhat cooler weather.
So like here in Central Florida, what would you consider like cooler weather?
Well, from the summertime, then I would say the high in maybe somewhere in the 70s or low 80s would be cooler weather.
So basically when you go outside and your face isn't immediately melting off.
Pretty much, yes. Where well, I can have a good hair day.
Having a good hair day outside is really difficult because I have, like, very curly hair.
Yeah.
And whenever I go outside and the humidity is above 5%, my hair lets me know.
Welcome to Florida.
That's how you know it's humid, when your hair reaches, you know, like, Dolly Parton level of height.
The higher the hair, the closer to God you are.
Well, speaking of being closer to the afterlife, we're here talking about spooky season or horror season with Did You Know with Ryan O. So this is our fourth year of doing spooky episodes with Did You Know with Ryan O.
That's awesome.
It's been a unique ride. Just with you alone, I've counted like 6 episodes of spookiness.
I love it.
So for the first time we did it, you and I talked about, witches and vampires.
Okay.
Then the following year we talked about pumpkins.
Nice.
And then last year we talked about like the Invisible Man / Invisible Men and Sleepy Hollow, the show. 'Cause you and I were obsessed with that show for a while.
That's right. That was a pretty cool show.
I just wish it ended a little bit better.
Yeah, the last scenes then kind of tanked, but it was good up until then. Worth it.
So that leads us to this year, where we're going to talk about all sorts of fun and unique stuff, but mostly going to talk about vampires. So Rachel, when you hear of vampires, what immediately comes to mind?
The undead, blood-sucking, can't come in unless you invite them, I guess.
So they're like any sort of person who tries to sell you things at your front door?
Pretty much.
Like anytime someone in our neighborhood tries to sell me solar panels, I just want to be like, no, you may not enter my house. How dare you?
Anytime someone knocks on the door, I just like hide because they weren't invited.
I remember an older stand-up thing where they're talking about like answering the door when you were a kid versus answering the door now, like 20 years later.
Oh yeah, when you're a kid, you're like, run for the door, I'll get it.
And you're excited. Who is it? How's it going?
I mean, when you're a kid, I think you have, especially neighborhood friends that just come and knock on your door like, can Rachel come out to play? And that's when you're like, yeah, I'm going outside to play.
But even like phone calls and whatnot, we get like these, you know, good old caller IDs like, hey, Home Depot is calling. Why are they calling me?
Hopefully to deliver that refrigerator that's been on back order.
I hope so. Otherwise, that'd be a chilly situation there.
Or not chilly because you don't have a refrigerator.
Hey, you can't give them the cold shoulder if you don't have a refrigerator.
Oh, Lord.
Well, speaking of terrible jokes, so we're talking about vampires and whatnot and what first comes to mind. So in the previous episode when you and I talked about vampires, I think we deep dived into the Twilight Saga.
Oh, boy. Thankfully, that's off limits today.
Yes. So instead, we're going to talk about something that's a little bit more fun and friendly. So let's start off by talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, fun and friendly.
So Rachel, tell us some of your experiences about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the series.
Well, I used to watch it when I would come home from high school. I think they had it on for like 2 or 3 hours. And it was a show that I probably wasn't technically allowed to watch when I was growing up.
Because of all the fighting and whatnot?
I think so, and like witchcraft and all that stuff. And I loved it. And I was definitely behind. I watched it on reruns until I think I was started to catch up on, what was it, FX or CW? Fox?
Back then it was like UPN.
Something like that, yeah. And I remember watching the finale, and I'm pretty sure I was like pretty depressed about it that I missed school the next day.
Yeah, I don't know of a show that, well, okay, Smallville ended when, like after college for us. So, or was it like the last year of college?
Something like that.
So that would have been the closest show for me. Like, you know, being emotionally invested and whatnot.
I was definitely very emotionally invested. And man, that last episode, it's a tough one.
Did the spinoff series Angel help with that? Or did you not watch Angel? Or
I watched Angel, but there's definitely parts of Angel that just suck. Like a lot. Honestly, I think one of the best seasons of Angel is the final season.
Because they're just firing on all cylinders and everybody's there that's supposed to be there.
Yeah. They have most of the classic characters. In one episode, you have somebody that comes back that's been gone for a while. And that's really nice. But yeah, even though one of the characters also changes a bit towards the end and the final season, you still kind of get them too.
Well, you know, having a Muppet vampire is a very unique situation.
Oh man, that episode was great. But Angel himself, not a huge fan, to be honest. I liked him more on his own TV show than on Buffy.
So it's not the whole like handsome, dark and brooding thing. It's not really going for you.
No, he's kind of a tool.
Yeah, and you've got enough of those in your life. I think I'm enough for an entire box. Anyways, so what are some of the moments, not too spoilery, actually, scratch that. For those of you who haven't listened or haven't watched any fanciness of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, we might spoil just a very, very tiny bit of it. So if you want to fast forward about 5 minutes or so, you're more than welcome to. I'll let you know when it's safe. So Rachel, what are some of your favorite moments in Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Dang, that's hard too. The musical episode's pretty fun.
I was a big fan of the Dracula episode.
Dracula episode is fun too.
Where they made Dracula look like a complete wimp.
That's actually like a really good episode. If you're going to watch some random episode, that's a good episode to watch actually, I feel like. Don't you?
Yeah, because with a lot of these shows, they're very much episodic. And so you go episode by, well, no, I'd say it's serialized, right? If it's, because episodic means it's by itself.
Yeah.
Serial means, so it's very serialized.
Yeah, it is very serialized, but they do a pretty good job of it.
And so like you continue a story between like two or three episodes as opposed to just having a one and done. So the one and done episodic episodes, I'm all for.
Yeah.
But I do love Oz. Oz is one of my favorite characters in it.
Oh, really? I'm definitely a big fan of Spike, and I like him when he's a good guy, of course. Honestly, probably one of the creepiest episodes is those smiley people.
Oh, sure.
Where they don't have like a face, but they have a face or whatever.
It's just a weird and smiley face.
Isn't
and very
that the
tall.
Episode where like they no one can talk?
Yes, the silent episode.
Yeah, that's a pretty inventive slash creepy episode. But I also think it's really cool how they kill off the main character, I think, multiple times. And yet it works.
And that leads us to like my next favorite character, who is actually my favoritest character of the entire saga, Faith.
Oh, Faith. Mm. She is awesome.
Because with her, everything is 5x5.
She is awesome.
Yeah, Cordelia is okay.
I like Cordelia after she gets over herself.
Once she matures and realizes that there's more to life than being popular.
Yeah. Yeah. Harmony!
Harmony.
Oh, man.
I like Harmony and Angel more than I like Harmony and Buffy.
Yeah. True. So true.
I also like Cordelia and Angel more than I like Cordelia and Buffy.
So true there, too.
Yeah. And Wesley.
I mean, there's definitely when Buffy's sister comes is very weird. I mean, it's kind of cool how they tie her in, but...
It's also very complicated.
It's also very weird. And what's that girl's name?
Michelle Trachtenberg?
No, the god that is like parallels that storyline.
Ooh.
I forget her name.
But she's played by...
I can see her face. But anyway, I think that's probably the worst storyline.
Sure.
To me.
But we do have a nice little situation where fans of the podcast should know that I am a big Nathan Fillion fan.
Oh, Caleb.
Yeah. Oh, his accent is absolutely something.
Oh, he's great. He is actually very great and very, like, you definitely hate him. You're like, I hate this guy.
He does what he does extremely well.
Yes. Nathan Fillion is amazing.
I enjoy when... certain characters like disappear and then they have like these big payoffs, like the two nerdy guys that are always hanging out, like
Jonathan and Andrew.
I enjoyed how long you held that note. That was awesome. Yes, Jonathan and Andrew. And you get to and of course there's the bunny lover.
Oh, my gosh. What's her name?
I think it starts with a C. It's been a while, folks.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to remember it.
So with the show itself, while we're thinking about characters and whatnot, what are some of like your favorite moments? Like not necessarily like... actual event wise, but like what are some of the cool things that happen or like character developments that you enjoy?
I think as a whole all the characters become more confident. Like, you know, they show in the first two seasons how like people are so insecure or just kind of wrapped up in themselves in this little tiny world of high school. And then as they go off to college, they kind of get a little bit, I'm remembering another storyline, they get a little bit more more secure in themselves and a little bit more aware of the world and where they fit in and their role or purpose in life. And I like how they grow. And Josh does a really good job of making the characters very relatable. And it's coming of age kind of story, really. Just there's vampires and supernatural crazy stuff that goes on too.
And we're really thankful that they told that story in 1997, as you and I also watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer the movie.
Yes, which I honestly, I did not realize that that is Joss's creation as well. I mean, it was like almost a trial run. Like, let's try this theme out first. And then there was so many things that you notice that need fixing for sure.
Like what?
The way that the vampires are portrayed.
You mean the vampires that have the really weird ears and are always pale?
Yeah, they're kind of like elfish, and then they're super pale, and they're very animalistic instead of like seductive and tricksters and smart and conniving.
Because when you think of vampires, besides being undead and you know, inviting them to come in, you also think of them, like you said, as seductive. Like Count Dracula, he invited you to come and he wanted you to have you as his own because he was the ultimate seductor.
Oh, sure. I mean, look at how sophisticated Dracula is and portrayed.
And going way back into our conversation with Edward, he sparkled.
Yeah.
And he doesn't age.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I get the no aging part and that's fine, but I don't know. I think Buffy did a good job, or Joss did a really good job of writing the rules of... He pretty much followed pretty closely to traditional vampire lore.
Once we get into the series, you mean?
Right, when we get into the series.
Yeah, so with the movie, like you said, it's got a couple
of holes.
Yeah,
as soon as the vampire gets staked in the heart, they just drop to the ground. They don't dust or anything, which I like. Dusting part.
Or in like the Vampire Diaries or originals and whatnot, when they get staked in the heart, sometimes they dust, but other times they could like just sit there for forever getting drained of blood.
Yeah, depending on what vampire is staked or not.
Yeah.
Yes. Or actually, did they dust or they had to burn vampire bodies? I think they had to burn them.
But still.
Yeah, but still, it's...
It was their rules for their show.
Yes,
which
true.
The Buffy movie was trying to create its own rules, but...
Yeah.
But Paul Reubens, okay. it took a while to realize that he was in it. He plays one of the biggest henchmen vampires in the thing.
By the way, you guys, it's Anya.
Anya.
Or Anyanka.
Yeah, that's the name of the character that we were thinking about for Buffy. Nice work.
By the way, I used my brain power. I did not look up that name at all.
No, it took you 3 minutes. I'm very proud of you.
Yes.
But anyway, Paul Reubens doing his ridiculousness post Pee Wee Herman, and his death scene took 3 minutes.
And then he also was ooing and awing at the end of the film anyway as a comedy bit.
So, yeah, it's the entire movie, of course, is a comedy.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. I think it could have been more comical if it was supposed to be really a comedy, but anyway.
Yeah. A whole bunch of vampires coming and dancing, and it gets very complicated.
I mean, first off, what is it, Christy Swanson that plays Buffy in the movie? So in the movie, Christy Swanson plays Buffy, which, honestly, she was a good choice. I like her as Buffy, but I think the way that Sarah Michelle Gellar was written as Buffy is way better. She's more relatable. She's kinder. She's not stuck in herself. But at the same time, in the film, we see Christy Swanson learning she's a Slayer, which...
Whereas Sarah Michelle already knows.
When you start, because we did watch the first episode as well, just to get a little refresher on how things start. Yes, she already knows when we meet Sarah Michelle Gellar. Actually, her name is Sarah Michelle Prince now.
Ooh.
If you guys didn't know that, I think several years ago, as a 10-year wedding anniversary to her husband, she changed her last name.
And just the fighting styles that they've established between the two are quite different.
Yes. And, well, I mean, yes. They're both very gymnastic.
Yes. But the first... Okay. So I'm used to... having like a martial arts move followed by like a witty comeback.
True. she does have quite a few witty comebacks. That's great.
And so with the movie, it was a witty comeback, but very stylized, very specific to like the valley in California in the early 90s.
Yes. Yeah.
There's so much neon. There's so much colors. Like,
it is a very 90s movie.
I was so thankful the series was not.
Yeah. The series is kind of, it's very kind of mysterious. Like, what's around the corner? What's going to happen? You know, kind of vibe to it in the beginning, especially the high school years.
Yeah, the big thing about making that one timeless, except for technology.
True.
So it feels very much timeless up until the point where they add cell phones for yes. conversations and whatnot.
Yes.
Whereas, of course, there was actually no, well, yeah. So in the Buffy movie, one of the guys got mad because he was trying to reach Buffy, but Buffy wasn't home, so he had to leave a message. Oh, my God, I had to leave a message.
Yeah, he had to leave a message, probably on the family answering machine.
Which would have been really, really awkward for, like, Dad to come and listen to the message and be like, hey, Buffy.
Yeah. Well, given her parents, either A, they wouldn't have been home to even listen to that message, or B, they wouldn't have cared enough / paid attention enough to even give Buffy that message.
Oh, yeah.
Her parents were awful.
So before we move on to another vampire topic, on the Buffy the Vampire movie, what would you say was like your favorite part or like one of your favorite things that they did in it?
That's very interesting. I really don't know.
What about least favorite part?
Yes. favorite part, I would probably, I guess, have to say the casting was really good. I think they did a good job casting every part that they had.
Oh, wow. So when they were doing like the magic basketball game, the big basketball game in there, and all of a sudden, you see this tall brunette guy walking. It's like
super young.
Super, super, super young. It's like, that's Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
That's Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck is in that movie, you guys. So if you don't believe us, you should rewatch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie. And
It's got Luke Perry and David Arquette.
Yes, and Hilary Swank. And I feel like Hilary Swank and David Arquette are auditioning for Scream at that point, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll have to look up when Scream was.
I think Scream was 94. Five?
No way. Because if that... Oh, wait. Okay. Yes, yes. Sorry. Yeah. I'm thinking 97. No. Yeah. Yes. 92 to 95. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because they did look very young in those films.
So one of my favorite parts about the movie was they tried to develop like two characters. And I think that they developed those characters decently.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters in the movie that were semi-central in the film that I still to this day couldn't tell you what their names are.
Oh, yeah. There's like six characters. I don't know what they did.
Yeah. So I think there was either too many main characters or central characters, but really the focus is on Buffy.
Because I don't know any of Buffy's friends in that movie.
Yeah, no.
I just know it's Hilary Swank.
Yeah, Hilary Swank, the brunette.
And the curly blonde.
And the curly blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she had a boyfriend who I don't know what his name was at all.
No. And then she's with
the Watcher. Pike. The Watcher person who is Donald Sutherland, which yes. I thought was kind of hilarious.
Donald Sutherland
like,
trying
did
to...
Did he just need a paycheck at this point? Or
I think so. But then again, you know, you've got... Rucker Hauer in it as the big bad.
Yeah. Donald Sutherland. Anywho.
Yeah. And Ben Affleck. Come on. So would you recommend that movie to vampire fanatics?
Yeah, I think I would, especially if they liked Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV series, and had never watched the movie. I think it would be good to see where it started.
But they'd have to keep an open mind because it's definitely different.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
It's almost like a alternative universe thing. Like almost like a what if story. Like what if Buffy took place 5 years earlier?
Yeah, kind of like that. Or, I mean, it's kind of cool to see where Joss's ideas in the story started. and then where they ended up. Or if you haven't seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie, or the series, you should watch the movie first. And then if you're... Don't let that put you off from the series, though, because the series gets really good.
So much better.
Yes.
I watched just a couple of episodes when they first came out. But there was some... I got distracted with superhero things and very distracted with cartoons. And then Smallville happened and music happened. And all of a sudden, I missed out on all the episodes of Buffy. And I was like, well, how am I going to watch these again? I don't have them on VHS. Then Netflix came out. And that's when you and I sat down and binged the entire series.
We did.
And it was a fun ride.
I feel like that was forever ago.
Probably like at least 5 years ago.
At least. I'm going to say more like 7 or 8 years ago.
While Rachel and I deep dive into our own personal history about when we watch things, we're going to have you guys deep dive into this commercial break. We'll be back in just a moment. Did you know with Rhino? While you're listening to this ad, I'd like you to look down. Now look back up. Are you wearing an awesome shirt that says Team Ryan O? Or a shirt with a duck with a cup spilled over that says Party Foul? Are you also wearing a really cool button that says Did You Know with Ryan O? Or a hat that says Team Ryan O? Or I Know Ryan O? Well, if you're not doing any of those things, you should be. And you can do so by going to Zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRyanO. That's right, folks. I have my own merchandise shop, and you can buy all sorts of amazing awesomeness pertaining to this podcast and show your love by once again going to Zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRyanO. Wear it, share it, love it. And now back to our show. Did You Know with Ryan O? So earlier this year, I've read a few different comics about vampires, just like prepping for all of this ridiculousness. It's been a unique ride, I'll tell you that.
I bet.
So one of them was called Dracula, the Company of Monsters.
Okay.
So what it is this guy who is like a CEO of a giant corporation spends most of his money and time getting his nephew to go and collect different artifacts and finds different things just so that the two of them together secretly can resurrect Dracula.
Those people are stupid.
Indeed, they are. With the spell that they were working on, they tried to find a way that, that Dracula would obey them, I guess, or like couldn't harm them.
Yeah, but then he could harm other people, and that's just wrong in itself as well.
And he did. He ended up trying to harm the people who mattered the most to get them to break the spell, and there were a bunch of vampire hunters along the way, and it got really dark and gruesome, and I enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Yeah. So there it was the same Vlad that most of the Dracula stories tell, but this part he involved himself with Sholomance, which is a very fancy type of like sorcery, and that's how he got all of his powers and afterlife and whatnot.
Nice.
So yeah, that's Dracula, Company of Monsters. I also read Dracula versus Apocalypse.
Cool.
Which Apocalypse was the big bad X-Men mutant guy. Mm-hmm. And so what Dracula did, well, this took place back in like the late 1800s. Dracula was kind of annoyed that all of these followers of Apocalypse were hanging out. And Apocalypse was kind of annoyed that Dracula was hanging out. And there was a giant war between the two of them.
Okay.
So then Dracula started fighting against all of these Apocalypse dudes. And Apocalypse was starting Dracula stuff. And they went over the history, but it seemed like it all took place at the late 1800s. So it was kind of trying to stay away from the traditional like Marvel Comics heroes just to make it its own little tiny sub-story.
Nice. Niche little sub-story about Dracula. Can't go wrong.
It was kind of cool. I wish they did a little bit more with it. I wish there was, you know, more stakes involved. But it was a nice little tight story, and I dug it.
Nice.
So out in the media, what sort of things would you like to see, like, more vampires involved in?
I guess, vampires in society, like, doing good, or time-traveling vampires. That hasn't been done yet.
Ooh, time-traveling vampires. Because we saw, like, vampires in Penny Dreadful. We saw vampires in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
So vampires exist in, like, little... I love Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
That actually was good. I did not expect it to be.
So a society of vampire, like, time travelers. That would be ridiculous.
I mean, we are vampires' food, so what if the vampires had to travel in time to save certain people? That would actually help our society grow, because, I mean, if we become extinct, then vampires become extinct.
And there's no more blood banks and whatnot, so you need to hook people to machines or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's almost like The Matrix of the vampires.
I couldn't tell you that because I never seen The Matrix. I seen an hour of The Matrix and went, huh? And turned it off.
That's fair. It's not for everyone.
Nope.
Well, speaking of other things that are not for everyone, I found some really terrible vampire jokes. Are you ready for them, Rachel?
Bring it on.
Okay. Here we go. What's a vampire's favorite type of dog?
Couldn't tell you.
A bloodhound.
Oh, nice.
What do you get when you cross a vampire with a laptop?
I don't know.
Love at first bite. That's bite with a Y.
Wow.
Yep. I knew a vampire who became a poet. He went from bat to verse.
You're funny.
A vampire's favorite cocktail is a Bloody Mary.
Oh, of course.
I used to work with a vampire. They were a real pain in the neck.
Okay, that's probably the best one so far.
Where do vampires keep their money? At a blood bank.
Sure.
It's a terrible one.
I don't, what?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
Here we go. What do you get when you cross a vampire with a snowman? Frostbite.
Yeah. That's exactly where my brain was going.
So, like, all of these did you know or, like, why do you? They're kind of not so great. So I'm just going to, like, pretend like I'm a stand-up comic now and just tell these most ridiculous things about them.
Okay.
Like, I'm thinking of joining my local vampire club. Apparently, they're always looking for new blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to know a vampire actor. He gave up because he couldn't find a role that he could really get his teeth into.
Sink his teeth into?
That would be so much better. See? The person who wrote this wasn't. If two vampires have a race, will it be neck and neck and neck and neck? Oh, yeah. Last Halloween, I went to a party dressed as Dracula and ate all the food. I was Vampire the Buffet Slayer.
Wow.
Yes, indeed.
Wow.
And that's my terrible vampire bits. Let's do one more. Here's one of these, did you hear or what do you know? What sort of cheese do vampires eat?
Munster.
Yes, indeed. Oh, you got one, Rachel. Nice work. That's our terrible vampire jokes of this episode. So switching gears slightly, because we're still talking about spooky season, which is also fall season. What sort of fall treats are you looking forward to eating or making?
I really love... Okay, so I'm not a pumpkin spice person, but I really love this time of year to have the cold brew with the pumpkin cream on top. I think Dunkin' has one that's new this year, but Starbucks's last year was really good. I like it because it's not super sweet and like artificial flavory tasting, and it's really nice and creamy and smooth, and it's perfect. It's really nice. But also, I really like our apple cider with caramel vodka. That tastes like a caramel apple. That's pretty a nice drink. And then I'm really looking forward to making the sweet potato pie cheesecake with the caramel cinnamon pecan topping.
You just mentioned so many things that my mouth is immediately watering.
Oh, man. So you and I were watching some food show, and someone was talking about how good a cheesecake like that was. And we were both like, yeah, we've never had sweet potato pie, period, let alone cheesecake. And I found a recipe, and I made it this year already, and it was so good.
Oh, it was awesome.
So I'm looking forward to making that this fall.
So the moral of the story, if there is one, is if you see something that might be amazing, try it.
Yes.
Especially if it's food.
Always if it's food.
Because the worst thing that happens is you have to eat something else afterwards.
Or you just spit it out.
Yeah, exactly.
And... or, like, give it to one of your friends or family that might like it, and you don't. Yeah.
And then they might love it. It might be, like, the most amazing thing ever for them.
Precisely.
So, besides footages and whatnot and the cooler temperatures, anything else you're looking forward to this spooky season?
Really just the cooler temperatures. I mean...
it's been really hot this summer.
Yeah, it has. Traveling, if possible... in the fall time, especially to someplace that be cooler than Central Florida in the cooler temperature fall time.
Because you haven't brought out a sweatshirt in forever.
Right, yeah. No, at least not to wear outside. But that's a whole other thing.
Any movies that you're looking forward to watching in the next couple months? Like Halloween-wise or monster-related?
I mean... my favorite monster-related movie that I like to watch this time of year is Van Helsing, because I just love that movie so much.
We should do an entire episode about Van Helsing, the movie.
I feel like we have at least talked a bit about Van Helsing, the movie.
There's always room for more Van Helsing.
There could be. It's just so good. And for haters out there, I'm so sorry. I don't care. I love it.
That's fair.
And I love the Hallmark fall movies, of course. They're so cute. And fall. Make me so jealous.
Because of people who actually get to experience fall. For like Canada, that's a third of the year.
And they've got like their plaid on and their boots. And they've got hot cocoa or hot cider. And the leaves are blowing all over the place, and they're in the mountains, and they're on horses, and yes, they're called horses. I don't know who calls them horses. Just kidding. I love horses too.
you love both, all of the above.
Yes. Fall is definitely my favorite time of year, which unfortunately we live in a place where we don't experience it that much.
But we at least get to experience what we do, possibly like pumpkin carving,
decorating for fall. I try to bring as much fall at the house as possible, which we're probably doing tomorrow.
We started with these owl pillows that we found.
We got these really cute fall pillows with owls to put on her welcome bench. I love it.
It's cute and awesome. Well, speaking of cute and awesome, thank you, Rachel, for joining me on our first Halloween or horror season episode of the year.
It was fun. Anytime.
Before we do leave this episode, what question should we ask the folks out there for this week?
Let's see here. I mean, it should probably definitely have to do with either fall or spookiness. So I would say... what was your favorite Halloween costume you wore growing up to go trick-or-treating in? And, yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
So what was your favorite Halloween costume growing up as a kid and whatnot? So if you want to answer that question, you can do so on Twitter, at DidYouKnowRyanO. You could shoot us an email, DidYouKnowRyanO@gmail.com. Or you can always check us out on Facebook, DidYouKnowWithRyanO. Thank you once again for hanging out with us, Rachel.
Anytime. Loved it.
And for those of us here, to those of you out there, we hope that you find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O, and we'll see you next time.